I'd like to bring the House Transportation Committee to order. It's 1:37, March 9th. Members present are Co-Chair Stutes, Representative Klayman, Representative Kopp, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Newman, Representative Drummond, and myself, Chair Wool. We have a quorum to do business today. If you have any communication, do so through Laura Steidolf, the committee staffer over there. And I'd like to thank Heather Evoy and Cody Grusendorf for their support today. Our first order of business is HCR 7 Cooper Landing Bypass, sponsored by Representative Chenault. And he'll be presenting this resolution with his staffer, Tom Wright. So we can come to the table, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. For the record, I'm Representative Chenault. I represent District 29 on the Kenai Peninsula. I'll try to keep this relatively short and allow you guys to answer the question or ask questions you think you may need. But House Concurrent Resolution 7 deals with the Cooper Landing Bypass. The concurrent resolution has three main objectives. And those are to urge the governor to oppose the selection of the G alternative of the Sterling Highway Milepost 45 to 60 project, otherwise known as the Cooper Landing Bypass, and to support the Juneau Creek alternative. It also urges the governor to request that the United States Secretary of the Interior to initiate a land exchange under the Russian River Land Act. And it also urges the governor to request Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and the Division Administrator of the Federal Highway Administration to reevaluate the selection of the G alternative or alternate. Mr. Chairman, the Cooper Landing Bypass has been under consideration by DOT and FHA for decades. At one point in time, and it still may be, I believe that this project is the longest running EIS in the nation. In April and May of 2015, the draft EIS and the draft Section 4F evaluation were released for public review. And on December 11th of 2015, DOT and HFA announced that the G alternative was the preferred route, and the final EIS and record of decision are expected this year. Both DOT and FHA recognize the importance of protection of the Kenai River corridor. However, the draft 4F evaluation did not adequately consider negative impacts on fish habitats, long-term environmental threats to the fish and wildlife of the Kenai River, nor did it consider the degradation of irreplaceable cultural resources of the Alaska Native heritage upon the section of the G alternate. In addition, the G alternative I got myself going on that, Mr. Chairman. Will require an additional crossing of the Kenai River and a replacement of an existing bridge. The Juneau Creek alternative bypasses all crossings of the Kenai River. A substantial portion of the G alternative would be built along the existing alignment near the Kenai River, and 45% of which is located within the 500-foot from the river or a Tier 1 stream. The Juneau Creek has 25% of the route located within 25 feet of the river or a Tier 1 stream. And also, it's estimated that the Juneau Creek alternative would is estimated to be about $50 million less than the G route. A small portion of the congressionally designated Mystery Creek unit within the Kenai Wildlife Refuge would be affected by the Juneau Creek route, and the U.S. Secretary of the Interior has congressional approval to initiate and conduct a land exchange with Cook Inlet Regional Incorporation that could include portions of the Mystery Creek unit. Mr. Chairman, I think it's important that we remember that the long-term protection of the Kenai River, the opportunity to prevent major chemical spills, and the opportunity to significantly decrease traffic adjacent to the Kenai River needs to take priority in this section, in the selection. This resolution that you have before you is sponsored or supported by the Kenai Peninsula Borough, the Kenai Indian Tribe, and the cities of Kenai and Soldotna. So, Mr. Chairman, my opening statement, and we're here to try to answer questions. We do have people online from the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We also have folks from DOT here to try to answer any of the committee members' questions.
Thank you. We have some commission questions from the committee, and we do have people for public testimony and people answer questions online. Representative Stutes.
Well, I do have a question. I mean, this just seems like a no-brainer to me, through the chair, excuse me. I'm curious, and I see we have Mike Lesman here from DOT. I'm curious as to why they would choose this route when the other route appears to be hugely, the route that they've chosen seems to be hugely more costly, aside from the, of course, what I look at is the impact to the riverbeds. So I would be curious as to why this route was selected over the other.
And Representative Stutes, through the chair, that would be a better question for the department or even our borough to try to explain where their position is on this project.
We can ask them from DOT. We have three people from DOT online.
We have Mike Lesman.
And we have, Deputy Commissioner. Does anyone want to jump in on that question? Mike?
Chairman, for the record, my name is Dave Kemp. Excuse me, I'm the Regional Director for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And we have Jim Amundson and Brian Elliott, who are online, who are more familiar with all the details of this project than I am. I'd like to go over a little bit of how what rolls out from here. Basically, what we have right now is a preferred alternative, the Juneau Creek alternative. There will be a record of decision here sometime in the next 6 to 9 months. At that point, the environmental permitting, then the design, then the right-of-way acquisition, and then the construction will occur. During each of those transitions from environmental to right-of-way to design to construction, there is a requirement that we go back and look at the criteria that went into the selection. So if something changes, for instance, a land trade or one of the 4Fs becomes different, that will then need to be looked at. In addition, if there's some other change that occurs in between those points, it's allowed to go back and look at those impacts that may change the selected alternative.
Follow up, Representative Stutes.
I'm not sure that you answered my question, but I'm going to follow it up with another question. So what's been the delay? If this is the longest EIS of any project, what's the problem?
This is, I believe, the longest EIS in the country. And I became involved in this a year ago, and then there's people in my organization who have been there for 2 decades. They became involved in it when they first started off. And the explanation, there's a question and answer of frequently asked questions, and it goes through, this is one of the most complex as far as the geology, the historic sites, the 4F sites. It's got more complexities than any project that the FHWA has ever seen. So that is probably the reason why this has taken so long. There's a lot of resources that are being looked at and have been looked at, and there's a lot of competing interest in this project from a lot of different folks.
Follow-up for Mr. Stutes.
Follow-up, sorry. How long is this project, how long is this EIS, let me rephrase that. When did it begin?
I believe it began in the 70s,
so
when I was in high school.
70 to 80, 40. 80 to 90, 90 to 2, 2 to 210, two, almost 50 years here? Now, I understand complex. I'm having a hard time understanding this. So it seems like maybe there's a huge disconnect somewhere, aside from the fact that the borough doesn't want it, apparently down there, and it's been almost 50 years. I mean, I understand the fact that you just got involved, and I'm sorry for that. But this just seems to kind of, for lack of better terms, be kind of a dog and pony show down there.
Yeah, I guess to answer, or through the chair, Representative Stutes, I guess if you could, the frequently asked questions goes into all the complexities that are involved here. And I have been getting up to speed on this in the last year, but there are a lot of different landowners who are involved. There's a lot of different federal agencies. There's state agencies. It's an extremely complex corridor that we're trying to go through here to basically, our department loves building things. We would love to build one of these alternatives, whichever the alternative is selected. We would love to build that. But there are a lot of complexities in the selection process. And that is, from what I can see in the history and reading over the history, that is why this has taken so long.
Please, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
This will be my last comment. I can understand what you're saying, and I can appreciate what you're saying. What I cannot understand is almost 50 years. I mean, people have could have retired twice in that time. That's very difficult for me to comprehend. And to say that there's a lot of complexities involved doesn't answer my question. I'm sorry. And like I said again, I understand that you just got involved in a year. But this is, to me, a significant issue. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't want to be combative, even though I feel like it today. No.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Clayman?
I may have missed something in the materials. I'm just trying to see. There's a suggested land exchange with Coconut Region Incorporated. Does that land exchange need to occur before we could even implement the Juneau Creek alternative?
Representative Clayman, through the chair, that is a discussion that has been ongoing for many, many years. The Department of Transportation and Public Facilities nor FHWA can get involved in that. That, if we get involved in that, that will completely compromise the process. And the question was asked of the head of FHWA for Alaska, if you did that, would then Juneau Creek alternative be the preferred alternative? And as she, I believe, made really clear, FHWA never will predict what a result can be based on some action that some other party can take. So I believe, to answer your question, no. Saying that a land trade would occur cannot be a predecessor or a guarantee that a selected alternative will be picked.
Follow-up, Representative Clayman.
Well, actually, my question was, if they didn't do the land trade, is the Juneau Creek alternative off the table? In other words, if they haven't done the trade, are they going through some private land that they would need somehow permission that apparently Siri may not be willing to give unless the trade takes place? I'm not saying that they can require the trade in the alternative. I'm saying if there's no way to get across a particular parcel of land, does that mean that's a non-option and we'd... Yeah, if the question makes sense.
Representative Clayman, through the chair, my understanding is that without that particular land trade that you're talking about, this would be a much more difficult option. And it's, if it were to happen, it would be in the positive for the Juneau Creek alternative. But again, we're following FHWA's lead here. They are not going to predict what will or will not occur based on a land exchange between two other entities.
Can I follow up?
Follow up, Representative Clement.
Well, let me ask the question a little differently. Today, this resolution requests, there are requests made, so the land trade hasn't occurred. Could they build alternative, the Juneau Creek alternative, today without the land trade? If it was the chosen alternative.
Representative Clement, through the chair, it could be built if that was a selected alternative.
Okay.
Thank you. Seeing no more questions for Mr. Kemp at the moment, I'm going to go to public testimony. We have a few people to testify online. Thank you, Mr. Kemp. And I'm going to open public testimony. We have Ricky Gies. Are you on the line, Ricky?
Hi, my name is Ricky Gies. I'm the executive director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. We just came out of a 15-day meeting where commercial sport, personal use people were working through complex regulations at the Board of Fish. We had little agreement of anything in the 15 days. This is one thing we all agree on. The G-South route is unwanted on the Kenai Peninsula, and yes, it's been a complex process. We've gone at it for 50 years, but we've come up with a solution that nobody wants, nobody likes. It provides less protection to the Kenai River, which we all just deeply love and is the heartbeat of our Kenai Peninsula culturally, recreationally, economically. This alternative, G-South, provides less protection to the people in terms of it does not adequately meet to the same standards that the Juneau Creek alternative would meet. It also means that during construction, the Kenai Peninsula is going to be a nightmare while the G-South route gets built, because they're tearing up the Cooper Landing Highway instead of building a bypass, which this was supposed to be, and it's more expensive. $50 million more expensive. Now, when we testified on this stuff earlier, it was like, well, that's a rounding error in the federal budget. I'm sorry, but in these times of federal budget deficits, I don't think a $50 million price tag is a rounding error. We think that the land exchange discussion will be initiated through the new Secretary of Interior, Zinke, and with CIRI. CIRI Board of Directors has been behind moving forward with the land exchange. We understand that'll take from 4 to 6 months. And then at that point, we hope and urge that DOT and Federal Highways take a renewed look at the feasibility of the Juneau Creek alternative, which we think is a much better solution to this problem that's been going on for a long period of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky. We also have Aves Thompson on the line. Aves, are you there?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, co-chairs Wool and Stutz, I'm Aves Thompson, executive director of the Alaska Trucking Association, a nearly 200-member company trade association representing the interests of the trucking industry in Alaska. On behalf of the Alaska Trucking Association, I'm here today to support this resolution. The Sterling Highway is the only land freight corridor to and from the Kenai Peninsula communities of Kenai, Soldotna, Anchor Point, Homers, and other west side communities. The Sterling Highway supports freight movement for commercial activities such as fishing, oil and gas production, construction, refinery operations, and the consumer goods needed by all the residents of the west side of the peninsula. The Kenai Peninsula is also one of the most popular tourist areas in the world, drawing tourists from near and far. In the summer, the Sterling Highway in the Cooper Landing area is crowded with tourists and fishers. We oppose the G alternative because it keeps the highway too close to the Kenai River. Our opposition is based on two major safety concerns. Number one, thousands of tourists are in the Cooper Landing area every day in the summer. Their attention is directed toward fishing, hiking, or boating, and not necessarily watching for truck traffic. Mixing commercial vehicle traffic and tourists on the roadway creates a potential conflict that can be avoided by choosing the Juneau Creek alternative. Number two, some of the freight that's moved on this route is fuel in tankers and chemicals in tankers. In the event of a crash or spill, the effects of an environmental incident can be greatly lessened by choosing the Juneau Creek alternative and moving the highway away from the Kenai River. Again, ATA supports this resolution and fully supports the Juneau Creek alternative. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you, Aves. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none. Close public testimony. Any other questions from the committee? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could talk to DOT, please.
Yeah, sure. There's three people online. Okay. All from DOT. I don't know which one, but...
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, if this alternative is changed to go to preferences proposed by Representative Chenault, how much does that delay the project, or is there a timelines, time constraints on these projects? Where are we at on that, or are they at the point in the decision-making process where they can still make these decisions without affecting the completion date?
And we have Dave Kent back at the chair.
Representative Newman through the chair. The way this project, because this is such a large project and a complex project, the plan always has been to do it in phases. So what we've been looking at is you could do the first part of the project, one end of the project first, and then you could do the other end of the project. Neither one of those ends would affect whether or not you're doing G-South or the Juneau Creek. That would probably take about 4 years to complete those two. So whether or not one of these alternatives is the final alternative won't be in set in stone or set in concrete, actually, until we actually get to the point where we've done both ends. So 4 years out, we would then have to make a final decision and then start working on the right-of-way acquisition and the actual design and the construction of that. So that would not slow us down.
And Mr. Kemp, can you, since you sat down and came back up, can you put your name back on the record? Put yourself back on the record.
Dave Kemp, Central Region Director for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you. Sure. Follow-up, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kemp, federal centerline highway projects, don't they have to receive full funding before construction can start?
Representative Newman through the chair. I spoke with representatives from FHWA yesterday about this, about Juneau Creek or the Cooper Landing Bypass project, and about this specific scenario of that there are concerns, legitimate concerns about the alternative, the preferred alternative that's being looked at, whether or not we could or we were going to, and that has been the plan from the very beginning of doing the portions of the road. I don't believe that would be an issue. I believe they could fund the first phase, and actually from what I understand, going back like 15 years ago, there was a plan for the whole much larger portion of the road, and they decided to go ahead and do other sections of that road first, which they've already done like 10 years ago, and then leave this section till now. And looking at this section, there are parts on both ends that, irrespective of which of the preferred alternative or which of the alternatives, the Juneau Creek or the G-South, it's not going to make a difference. They will both be the same. So we can do both of those projects, and then it would be about 4 years out from if we got started here in the next year.
Another question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yep. Kemp, so on the funding issue, where is the state on funding these projects? Do they have approved funding for the total project, or is it, I think there's four phases at least. Do they have funding appropriated or at least allocated for all four of these, or just the two, or where?
Representative Newman, through the chair, could I ask for Jim Amundson, who's on the line, to sure. respond to that question?
Sure. Jim, are you on the line?
This is Jim Amundson, Alaska DOT Central Region Highway Design Chief. And the question of funding is that for the portions of it that fall within the current STIP, it is currently in the current STIP for funding. Most of the portions that we're talking about are in what's called the out years, beyond the current 3 years of the STIP that's actively being worked. So it's identified and being tracked in those out years, but it has not been specifically obligated yet.
Follow up, Representative Newman.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Representative Newman here. Jim, I guess my question was, I'm trying to find the following funding source. It sounds like maybe the first and the last sections may have approved funding for, in the middle portion is not. Is that correct?
Actually, what's currently allocated is the funding for starting the design, which is the only piece of it that actually falls within the next 2 years of the active STIP. It's the next 3 years after that would be picking up the construction for those first two phases, and then that follow-on phase that Director Kemp was talking about, which is the part that's in contention. That's the part that's 4 years plus out, and the design phase for that is in those out years of 4 to 6 years out, but the actual construction is actually beyond the current 6 years of the STIP and is being carried as an identified need for the out years beyond the six-year STIP.
So just one more.
Just follow up, Representative Newman.
Wrap all this up. Sure. I was trying to get on the funding. Thank you for the liberality, Mr. Chair. So, Jim, my question is that basically the funding's been allocated towards the couple of sections there. Do you anticipate approval of funding for the middle sections, no matter, I guess, which route they take? And how that maybe affect other projects that are on the STIP if there's an additional $50 million available for Federal Highway Centerline funds?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, you are correct that $50 million either way would have to be balanced when we get to that point. We are currently carrying the larger of the numbers going forward, so it's currently accounted for.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair. So I'm a little confused here, so maybe you can help me out. So it sounds like the two ends of the road are going to be the same regardless which route they take. Is that correct?
Representative Stutz, through the chair, yes, ma'am.
Follow up.
Thank you. So, and they've been working on the two ends of the roads for almost 50 years? I mean, I guess I need to ask, is a certain portion of the road more troublesome than other portions? And I guess what the bottom line I'm asking is, how come they haven't started it, at least?
Representative Stutz, through the chair, what I was talking about before is we have a project that goes from here to here. These two portions of it on either end are the same for either one of these alternatives. Previous, there were, before the G-South alternative was named as a preferred alternative, there are other alternatives. The Cooper, I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, it does not have those similarities. So we couldn't start those sections of that road until we were like, okay, which one are we going with the two alternatives that are seem to be the most likely right now, the G South and the Juneau Creek. They have these two sections on either end that are exactly the same, so we could start work on both of those without deciding finally. Well, I mean, there's going to be a record of decision. But, and this is something that I learned in the last month, was that even though you have a record of decision, you still have to go back. Every time you go from one phase to another phase, you have to look at, has anything changed? It's required. And again, if something changes even in one of those phases, if we're in the right-of-way phase and let's say a land exchange happens, then you're allowed to go back and weigh those alternatives again. So I guess what I'm trying to convey here, probably not very well, is that even though there's going to be a record of decision, that doesn't mean that is going to be the road that will be built. If things happen and change, the Federal Highway Department requires to go back and look at those things again.
Okay, thank you. Can I have one follow-up?
Sure.
Thank you. I promise just to make it one.
Just one.
When was the determination made, or almost determination, to go with the G route?
Through the chair, Representative Stutz, the preferred alternative was in December of last year.
Oh, so fairly recent.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just not really a question, just a comment. there's probably nobody in this room other than maybe this former speaker and Tom Wright that have driven this road as much as I have through this area. I guess just in response to Representative Stutes, you know, the time of this, it one of the challenges has been the difference between permanent and seasonal residences, notice, public comment, people that maybe are only there a month, a year, and then getting a notice, and then weighing in even after the project is, you know, getting in and then contacting their congressional delegation or U.S. senator. And the DOT has really been caught in the middle of this for decades, trying to get the community hearings, the notices, the public comment, all the environmental studies, all the cultural sites through here, the various land use groups and interests, and finally getting something that is still been very hard at getting consensus. And I think that it's not insignificant that all the indigenous people on the peninsula have signed off on this resolution, all the cities that are affected, all the fishery user groups, all the environmental groups who are not shy about weighing in, and all the land users. You know, it really seems like you know, Representative Chenault has really put together a well-thought-out plan that has widespread endorsement. And I would just note to the committee, the tiny little piece of land that needs to be exchanged right there at milepost 55, if you draw a little circle, you can see right where that Juneau Creek alternative just touches the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, and that's a little section of land there we're talking about needing to have the U.S. Secretary of Interior initiate an exchange so we can come down to the road. And my guess is possibly the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is being a little recalcitrant about letting that happen. So that's why we need the Secretary of Interior to approve it. It sounds like we have willing parties ready to do this exchange. So a long comment. Thank you for the liberty, Mr. Chairman. But that will probably save users of the fisheries and tourists on the peninsula an hour driving in the summer when traffic's at a crawl, and probably for the year-round users, probably 15 or 20 minutes even in the winter. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Kopp. Representative Sullivan Leonard, and then Representative Drummond.
Mr. Kopp pretty much said what I was going to say.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. I would love to be able to drive down here way more often than I get the opportunity to, but it seems to me that the G South alternative may get you around Cooper Landing, but it does nothing for the bottleneck at the Russian River, right, which is even more of a nightmare than the Cooper Landing end. Am I making this observation correctly? Makers of the resolution? And therefore, in just looking at this map, I see no reason to not support this resolution, because it takes care of much more than just the Cooper Landing end of the congestion in this very congested and very beautiful region that needs to be protected.
Yeah,
so thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
I'll be in support of this.
You're welcome. I only looking at the map, I can see that the G alternative does not bypass the Russian River. I don't. I'm just curious if anyone can answer it. And we do have Angela Ramponi on the line from the Kenai Peninsula Borough, or anyone from DOT. And this is just my question. Who does support the G South alternative and why? Well, I'm just, you know, and maybe this was devised 30 or, and a follow-up to someone from the DOT perhaps is, if this plan has been in the works for some 4 or 5 decades, were all these all, is it a constant, is it constantly in motion, or a lot of these alternatives laid out from the beginning and they've just been sort of weighed for and against over the years? Or for example, is the Juneau Creek alternative something that's relatively new? So if both those questions, like, why the G, who supports G South and why, and has Juneau Creek been in the mix all along? Those are my two questions.
Mr. Chairman, can I defer to Mr. Thomason?
You sure can.
Through the chair, Jim Amundson, the alternatives that are currently in the plan and in the environmental document have all been actively in play since the beginning of this process.
Okay, that's interesting to know. And we hear a lot of arguments for the Juneau Creek alternative. What's the argument for the G South alternative, and who is there any particular groups that support that?
Again, through the chair, this is Jim Amundson, and there are a number of U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Forest Service, and other interest groups that are in equal legion compared to the folks in favor of Juneau Creek that are just as interested in G-South versus Juneau Creek based on the volume of the comments that we've received through this process.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did ask the representative before I sent the question if I could do this, if I may. One of the best things about being part of a citizens-based legislature is we all bring something new to the table or something else. So if I may ask Representative Kopp, as a former cop or police officer, very familiar with that issue on public safety. You know, it's been mentioned the amount of fishermen that use that, literally probably hundreds of thousands every year. And just tourists, millions of folks driving through there. As a former police officer who spent a lot of time with you there, do you know the routes, the alternatives? Could you talk about the public safety aspect of the routes?
Thank you for the question, Representative Newman, through the chair. That section of the Sterling Highway from milepost 45 to milepost 58 is well known in the public safety and in the regular commuting public as one of the most hazardous choke points on the whole system. It's got a very high rate of accidents, fatalities. I can tell you on December 29th, 2011, there was a fatality. We had a family wedding down there, and half the crowd coming down from Anchorage had to turn around. That section of road has been a public safety trouble point for decades, and there are so many businesses and access and pull-off points in there, and there is no room to pass safely for many miles. So if you can imagine the number of tractor trailers with campers and motorhomes and boats going through a very windy road with many blind curves and people who are very apprehensive and wanting to get someplace, bad things happen regularly. I think this is one of DOT's greatest risk roads other than the road between Anchorage and Girdwood. I think this is like in the top three in the state for fatalities and accidents. So
KGB.
KGB's up there too. So for all those reasons, I would just say wholeheartedly that this is a traffic safety improvement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? I guess the one thing that's changed since the 70s is there's probably a lot more cars on these roads. Mm-hmm. And just for clarification, if the Juneau Creek alternative goes in, obviously the existing highway remains. That's just for the record, yeah. Well, seeing no questions or comments, if it's the will of the committee, I don't have any problem with passing this resolution out today. Are there any Representative Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House Concurrent Resolution Number 7, Version 30/LS0594/A from committee with individual recommendations and any attached fiscal notes.
I see any objections? Seeing none, we will pass this resolution out of committee and. With that, we will adjourn our meeting and sign the paperwork afterwards. It's 2:17.